I was told my first couple years I had to use the table, and I demanded a podium this year. So, my name is David Miller. I'm the principal at Covenant High School. I think I know most of you, but if I don't know you, please introduce yourself to me. I'd love to talk to you about the school. When we first came and I was hired, the board and I wanted to really continue a strong relationship with the church. So we decided to have a service in October of my first year. And I was informed that there was a congregational meeting, and we had to move it to November. And then the next year again, we went to do an evening service in October. And I was informed there was a congregational meeting, we moved it to November. And when I moved it, Mike Simpson said, once you do something twice at Faith Presbyterian, it's a tradition. I didn't believe him. And then as I was standing down there waiting to come up, as I just did now, Rob came up here and planted his feet, and he stood here and he said, every year at Faith Presbyterian, we honor Christian education. And there it was. He had just consecrated the event. And now here we are in our third year in November doing this. And I told Stephen, I said, Stephen, at this point, we can't change this if we want to. And I'm the one that decided to do this. So anyway, so it's exciting to be here and talk about Christian education. It is important to remember why we do what we do. I'm passionate about Christian education. I came here because I love the idea of students being shaped to be like Christ, and I'm passionate about the role that education can play. Of course, it's Christian education, the church, and the family that does that. I believe that Christian education is done through casting a vision for a Christian culture. That's a key word, having a Christian culture. That leaves a lasting conviction and set of habits in the students that last well beyond high school and college. In short, we need to be culture makers as Christians. We need to pass that culture on to our students, and we need to teach our children that. And the problem is that today in our culture, we don't control, Christians generally speaking, do not control the culture-making organizations, right? You have Hollywood, you have art, these universities have become secularized. And so here we are trying to create a culture, and yet the broader culture is doing the opposite. So we have to be good at making culture and teaching that to our students. I want to share, before I go into the report, just a few characteristics that I think are essential to making a Christian culture in a school. And I could go on much longer than this, but I'm just going to hit a few of them that I'm passionate about. The first one is that all subjects in a school must be viewed with the preeminence of Christ. This means that when you're in a science classroom or an English classroom, the gospel needs to saturate that classroom. And it's a very simple reality that God created all these subjects, and this is the world we live in. And so when we're studying literature, we need to study with a biblical view of man. We need to have a biblical creation story. When we're studying science, we need to recognize God as the ultimate creator of this. So Christian education cannot just be Bible class and chapel in addition to the normal secular curriculum and maybe a little bit tighter moral code. No, it has to be something that permeates every subject from a scriptural view. Number two, it must celebrate and appreciate what is beautiful, true, and good in the eyes of God. And I share that partially because I think there's some misunderstanding about that. A lot of Christian schools have talked about truth, beauty, and goodness. One thing we have to be careful of that is that that is the classical pagan view of history, right? That was straight from Plato's Republic when he argued that we become better people by studying what is true and beautiful. In his opening chapters of Republic, he says you study math because math is perfect and it makes you a better person. And you study music and listen to music because it makes you a better person. Well, as Christians, we don't necessarily believe that. We believe that Christ, his virtue, is credited to us. So I do believe in recognizing what is true, beautiful, and good. I think it's essential to a Christian education. But the way it works in Christian education is Christ changes us, he reshapes us to allow us to recognize what is true, beautiful, and good. I want to just kind of correct that a little bit because that narrative is out there, and I disagree with what is being said in a lot of schools. Number three, it must teach students to read with courage and integrity. Today in education, there is actually a huge attack on grammar. If you were to take a linguistics class, you would be taught this. There is what's called prescriptive grammar, which means you teach the rules of grammar, you drill it into the student, and then they take those rules and they apply it to the text and they read the text correctly. Nowadays, many schools and universities believe that that is oppressive. They believe that teaching grammar to students is going to force a certain way of thinking and language that is not part of their culture necessarily, and we ought not to teach the rules of grammar. We instead should do what's called descriptive grammar and just absorb their way of speaking and adopt our text to that way. And then the problem with that is that it believes that you cannot read what historic text actually says. That's a problem for Christians. We disagree with that. So we have to be believers in grammar, and we have to understand that we believe in something called perspicuity. We believe that the text is clear, that we can read the text. And that's essential to Christian education, and it's becoming increasingly a difference between us. I put the word courage in there, too, because it takes courage to read the text for what it is. When you read a text, I don't get just to say how I feel and what I think this text should say. I have to read it for what it actually says, and I have to allow that text to read me, right? That's essential for Christians, that the Bible reads me. I don't always just read the Bible and make it say what I want. Number five, there must be a purpose. I skipped four. All right. Number four, Christian education must develop a Christian copia within the student. This is one that's unique. It's something I'm passionate about as a rhetoric teacher. Copia means abundance of language. Your copia is all the words and phrases that you have read and been exposed to in your life. So if you read a lot about motorcycles, your copia is going to largely be phrases about motorcycles. If you watch reruns of Seinfeld episodes from the 90s, your copia is going to be Seinfeld episodes from the 90s. And you will start to understand the world with that in mind. Let me give you an example of that. You can probably tell me what major company put this phrase out. Follow your heart and your dreams will come true. Right? That's Disney. That's copia from Disney. And here's a question. Is that true? Is it true? We know that it's a much more complicated question, isn't it? God certainly wants us to have our hearts fulfilled, but it's a much more complicated process rooted in Him and His will and reading His word, not just following whatever we please and doing whatever we want. So copia is important because we need to give students a breadth of words and language and sayings and scripture that allows them to navigate their world and understand it correctly. It's also increasingly important because when kids want to know what's true, what do they do now? What do? They get out their phones and they Google it. So what we need to do is teach them to read widely, have something called a commonplace book, rhetoric students, write down phrases, remember them, remember the Bible, and build their own understanding of the world and not just run to Google and ask Google every single question that they have about life. Number five, the education must have a purpose bigger than the individual. Today, most people view education as being something that serves them. They're going to go out, they're going to get this degree, get this certification, they're going to make money, and they're going to add these letters to the end of their name. Well, we want an education that does much more than that. We want an education that isn't just necessarily what the student wants to do something with it, but rather that education does something to them. And so it needs to be bigger than an individual. Number six, it must be celebratory, ritualistic, and community-oriented. We can teach Christian thinking, Christian worldview, but we have to also live it as a community. We have to cultivate affections in students. We have to teach them to love well. And this is done largely through having habits in the classroom, right? At Covenant, we stand and pray at the start of our lessons. We do devotionals with our students. We do chapels. We do student events that are planned by students to include everybody. All of this is part of the Christian education. It's not just the Bible class. It's not just the chapel. It's not just the book work. It's also the community. So that's essential to a Christian education. And number seven, and this is my favorite one and last point, then I'm going to run through a few highlights from this last year at Covenant. It must cast a powerful vision for the student's life that is attractive. I don't mean attractive in terms of you've won the lotto and you're going to drive a sports car. I remember studying, there was when Christian film first started, right? The main character would accept Christ and then get a six-figure job and drive a sports car, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about it must have a vision that's exciting, right? And when you think about it, having a 50-year marriage of fidelity is extremely exciting, actually. It's very exciting. I think we forget that sometimes. Having a life that's well-lived and that serves God is exciting. And I have a quote to illustrate that. I can't pronounce this person's name. I'll attempt it. But it's from the book The Little Prince, and it's by, I think, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. I don't know if there's a French scholar out there. But in this book, he says, if you want to build a ship, he counsels, don't drum up people to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. We want them to long for the immensity of the sea. We want to cast a vision of what does it look like to be a virtuous Christian person and live a faithful calling. This is done through identifying your heroes, and that's something Covenant has a long history of doing with Mr. Hanula and the UK trip and the books that he has written. Who are the Christian heroes in history? Who are the literature characters? Who are the Christian scientists? And tell the students about these people and have them imagine what that looks like. And that's an important part of the Christian, establishing a Christian culture in a school. Okay, so running through a few things. It's a little bit shorter report than previous years because I've been here for 3 years now, so I'm going to hit just a few key points that I think the congregation may want to know. But before I do that, let's have all the faculty stand up that came here tonight. We have some visitors tonight, so if faculty could please stand. So these are your faculty tonight, and we're really happy to have them. So last year, Mr. Saladino had a sick kid and couldn't make it, so he's here tonight. So feel free to introduce yourself to him. He's only the third science teacher in the history of the school, which is really amazing to think about. So our theme for the year is renewed. We picked this theme because we wanted the whole Bible is a message of renewal, and we thought it'd be exciting. We emphasize Galatians 2:20. It's on a banner up there in the hallway. We've had a lot of devotionals about this. We had chapel shares on our retreat from students about that theme. You'll see kids wearing sweatshirts that say renewed. That's from Covenant High School. And that's been an exciting theme. Last year, we were accredited by the ACSI. This is our accrediting body. This is every 5 years, and this is a very hard process. And what an accreditation does is the school spends about a year writing what's called a self-report and analyzing themselves on a huge amount of data and rubrics and characteristics. The whole faculty and I were totally exhausted at the end of this year. And then they come, this committee of mostly heads of school from other places, other Christian schools, comes to our school and says, is your self-report accurate, and what does it say in there? And here's what they said about our school. So this is a third party saying that. They highlighted 5 things about our school. They said, 1, the school board is deeply committed to offering Christian education that is mission-centered and that is based on the original founding documents of the school. 2, they said the school board has facilitated a smooth transition of leadership from the founding principal to the new principal. They were very impressed with that. And then 3, they said the curriculum had a well-documented biblical foundation. 4, the school personnel demonstrated a strong commitment to the school mission. And then 5, CHS demonstrated excellence at creating a Christ-like culture of respect and caring and compassion for others. So we were really pleased with those results. We were very happy to be accredited. And look forward to not having to do that for another 4 years. So another big change we've made in the school is for many years, the school has always done PE at the YMCA, and that was has been really effective. There was an instructor at the Y who did it for many years, and it was very successful. And in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been kind of a turn on instructors through the YMCA. So we made a decision to make an investment there, and we actually now hired directly an employee to do the PE instruction. So we pay the YMCA now to use their facility, but we have our own instructor on staff who also teaches health in the school, and that is Mrs. Sarah Hanula. She's actually the niece of founder Dick Hanula. She married Dick's nephew. She's a track coach at Curtis High School and has a bachelor's degree in exercise science, and she's done a great job. What's been especially neat about this is just have her doing the integration of faith into the lessons, having the kids memorize verses as part of their PE lessons and connect that to faith and prayer and so forth. This spring, we'll go on our 13th UK and France historical tour. Raise your hand if you've been on that trip. A good chunk of the congregation. So hopefully I'll be going. I'm planning on it, and so I'm excited to be going on that trip. I do know that several students worked over the summer to pay for it. I think that's pretty neat to see that happen, getting jobs, working as cashiers or mowing yards to find a way to go on that trip. that's really neat to see. We went on a faculty retreat this year. We went to the Washington State History Museum, and they have a boardroom that we rented for a day. We had no school that day, and the faculty were trained on Socratic discussion that day. They were a little bit wondering if I had lost it, because I gave them two articles to read. The first was The Encomium of Helen by Gorgias, and the second was Chapter 10 of Henry Fabre's book on bees, written in the 1920s. And the reason why I gave them those articles was because I led a Socratic discussion with them, and then we analyzed it and talked about it, and it was just a fun time to connect and learn about how do you think and talk and converse. And then in addition to that, we're working on something called our master-teacher profile. This master-teacher profile, we have a few faculty listing the characteristics we want in a Christian school teacher. Like, what does it look like? Because a lot of people might come and want to work here, but then they might have a completely different idea of what a great teacher looks like than what we do. So we're trying to write that all down, and that's still in progress. You probably will see that next year when we're done with that. Our debate team, we started last year. We were in the WIAA Public School League, and we switched leagues this year. We are now a member of the National Communications Forensic Christian Association, or NCFCA. Their original name in the 1920s when they started was National Forensics League, which meant their original acronym was NFL. they ran into a problem in the 1950s and 60s as professional football became more popular with Mr. Lombardi and the Packers. So this is a really big deal because this league we'll integrate Christian worldview into the lessons, and we're actually, I wanted to let the congregation know, on March 13th and 14th, we're hosting the district qualifier here at the church. So there'll be over 100 students coming from around the region to argue and debate things from a Christian worldview, and the church is invited to attend that. And you're welcome to come and watch debates, or if you're really crazy and you want to judge, we certainly could use more judges for that day. And also, I haven't even announced this yet, there's going to be no school on March 13th, so we can do that. So students, there you go. You're glad that you came tonight. So we also are working on our tuition assistance. We want our education to be as accessible as possible to as many people as possible. So the CHS Board and Finance Committee, we have worked and we've created, there's an actual tab now, and there'll be more information distributed about this as we get closer to re-enrollment and new admissions. There's actually a tab now on our website where families desiring tuition assistance simply fill out a form online, upload their materials, and it will be really efficient and easy for them. There is a $35 fee for that as a processing fee, but it is going to be a very simple process that I think will be really enjoyable. That also keeps us from storing any sensitive information in-house because it's a third party. So I think that's going to be a really enjoyable thing. And if you know of someone who's worried about price, they just go to the website and fill it out, and then we see what we can do for them, right? So that's how it works now. We also are switching from the Terra Nova. Terra Nova is actually being discontinued, so we either had to do Iowa Test of Basic Skills, or what I've chosen for us to do is something called CLT 10. CLT is called the Classical Learning Test. This is something everyone should know about. This is a new rival test made by Christians that is going to rival the SAT. The SAT is controlled by the College Board, and it's become increasingly liberalized and has agendas, and there's a lot of different things that you probably read about that in the news and have wondered about that. And so we will continue to have our students take the SAT and PSAT, but we want to create this other option, which is called the Classical Learning Test. And this is now accepted by 150 colleges, including Covenant College and Wheaton College and Dort College, many great Christian colleges across the country, as a complete alternative to SAT. So students no longer have to even take the SAT. It has more of a classical great books reading emphasis and also emphasizes mental math and analysis. One older headmaster told me, he goes, you know what this is? This is just what the SAT was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. That's all it is. But it's an exciting thing that we're participating in, and our sophomores will be taking that this year. Our fine arts, we competed in the Our Own Expressions contest from Pierce County, which includes all of the high schools in the entire area of Pierce County. And we had six awards given, who all scored in the top three positions. One particular person, Julia Fisher, won the poetry competition with her poem called Eternal Summer. In addition to that, I wanted to give praise for our school bus, which this is actually a kind of a funny story. Mr. Nichols assisted me in purchasing this school bus. And the school board, we were stressed out because our school bus was rusting out at the bottom. And so we met as a school board, we prayed, and we budgeted, you know, $15,000 to $20,000 to buy a new school bus. If you want someone to help buy something for you, ask Jonathan Nichols. He found a bus for $5,000, and then that's probably worth $25,000. And then he sold the old bus to some guy. I don't know who he is. I'll just let him take care of that. He sold the old bus to someone for $3,000. So, anyways. it is a really good bus. Mr. Haniel loved driving it, and he had a little bit of a lead foot on the trip, and it was, so we are really thankful, and Jonathan has found a real niche there. In the spring, we've got, we are going to do a silent auction. We would love you to give prayerful consideration to donating a service or an item, if you have some sort of skill or something. There's lots of information about that. I'm happily to share that. That's in May. Right now, we're just looking for items for that, and then in the spring, we'll have tickets go on sale, probably in late February, early March for that silent auction. But if there's anything that you would like to donate, if you have, you know, a boat laying around or something, feel free to come talk to me about that. This spring, we do have Mrs. Llewellyn's planning to retire, so everyone's sad, but... she told me I could say that. So we're looking for a math teacher, so let's be praying for that. She might do some, Mrs. Llewellyn may do some consulting next year based on the level of experience the person has, but let's be praying about that. If you know of anyone, let me know. And then also wanted to invite the congregation to our choir concert and art show on December 12th and 13th. This is at 6 p.m. The concert starts at 7:30. The prelude 7:10, and then the jazz band will play at 6:30. I just went backwards on that for some reason. But December 12th and 13th, and then there'll be an open house on December 12th. So if you know of a family interested in either transferring or an incoming freshman, please let us know about that. And we would love to talk to them. In concluding, please pray for us. It is hard to create a Christian culture. That's what we're trying to do. I do consider myself to be the cultural architect of the school, so if you have any concerns, anyone in the congregation, talk to me at any time. I'll be out there. My business cards are out there. I'm happy to talk to anyone about the school at any time. Please feel free to approach me and ask whatever question you want. Continue to pray for our enrollment. Our enrollment's a little bit down. We do have a fairly large class for freshmen in terms of domestic enrollment. We have 23 freshmen, which we're excited about. One of the reasons our enrollment's a little bit lower is the international enrollment has actually really been struggling across the country, and that's been a struggle. So that's lowered our enrollment a little bit, having that. And we have a really small sophomore class this year. We love that sophomore class, by the way. They're amazing, but they are a little bit smaller class. So please be praying for this next year for our enrollment. Pray for that math faculty position, and pray for our theme, renewal, that we continue to experience renewal and union with Christ, and that our campus continues to honor God in all that we do. We'll take an offering in just a little bit for our scholarship fund. Just a couple quick notes on that. The scholarship fund is an essential part for all students because that helps with enrollment, number one, helping other students be here and allow them to experience that Christian education. And those families are still paying. They are still paying a lot of sacrificially of what they can to be here. And so it helps the entire program having them as part of our school. So please give prayerful consideration to giving that scholarship fund. We do have a text to give feature. We did change from previous years. The text to give is 1-888-364-GIVE. That's 1-888-364-GIVE, and you text covenant to that number. So when we do the scholarship fund, you'd be welcome to do that with your phone. Thank you so much for listening, and just again, continue to pray for the school. We really appreciate that, and really couldn't do all this at the price that we are without this church. So God bless all of you, and thank you for all your support.